Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
The greatest man ever to walk the face of the earth, the God-man, said this, "Who would be greatest among you? Let him be servant of all."
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about true greatness. This message was recorded at a chapel service in 1999. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, true greatness.
Psalm chapter 18 and verse 35, Psalm 18 and verse 35, David said, "Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, thy right hand hath holden me up, thy gentleness hath made me great." God's condescension has made me great. David makes a statement about greatness. Now, the way you live your life determines the end. In philosophy, I teach that every premise has a method, and every premise determining a method has a result. So if my premise is right, my method for living will be right, and my result will be right. But if my premise is faulty, my method of living will be wrong, and my result will be disastrous. The Apostle Paul had the premise in life, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." His method was selflessness. His result was gain. He said, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." What a way to live. To live with such a point of view that for God to take you is great promotion time. Some people just fear death so greatly. But to the believer, death is not a fearful thing. Death is a promotion, not that you want it prematurely. God has His timing. But death to the sold-out believer is promotion. But if you live wrongly, you will die wrongly. You will not want to have the result of a wrong premise in life. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And then he goes on to say, "Do the right thing before the grinder cease." The whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep His commandments, is the conclusion of life. Now let's look at four ideas that a wrong perspective of greatness would hold. Four ideas that the world would hold regarding greatness. Number one would be wealth is greatness. Wealth is greatness. If you could just attain great wealth. Why do you think people who cannot afford are buying welfare tickets? I heard a report just recently that number one addiction among teenagers now is gambling because of the lotteries, and they think they can buy a ticket and become multimillionaires overnight. I think if that were greatness, Howard Hughes would have probably been one of the greatest men ever to live. Howard Hughes was not a millionaire, he's a billionaire. Howard Hughes didn't know how much money he was making every day. I don't think he had any idea how to spend his money. If anyone could have been considered great because of wealth, certainly Howard Hughes could be. Solomon certainly could give a testimony of wealth, wealthiest man ever to live. If you want a real study in a life of searching for reality, study the life of Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. And he had wealth, anything that he wanted. Then perhaps if it's not wealth that makes you happy, then maybe being the top in your field of work will make you great. See, well, what about if in my profession I attain the top? And I think anyone in some type of profession ought to be not satisfied just to be normal and no visions and goals. But you can reach the top in your field of work and not be great. You can become the president of the United States and not necessarily be great. You say, boy, if I could as an athlete just be great. I was in Detroit Airport and I saw two telephone poles coming through the airport. I thought a professional basketball team is in town or a circus, one or the other. And it was Pippen and Grant from the Chicago Bulls. And I know David Vaughn and my boy would have enjoyed getting an autograph of Michael Jordan. So I thought, if Pippen and Grant are here, Michael Jordan must be around here somewhere. So I took off around the corner, took a guess. I went down one of the wings, and there was Michael Jordan sitting alone in the departure area. There's a man across from him, didn't know who he was. And there was a lady sitting over it, but otherwise the departure area is completely empty. I think Michael just went to find a quiet place. Now they have their own plane, so he doesn't have to go into airport. But I sat down next to him. I said, Michael, I don't want to bother you. And I said, and I was teasing him. I said, you're big stuff. I said, there's Jordan pants and Jordan shoes and Jordan T-shirts. I said, what is this, man? Big time Jordan stuff. And he was grinning. And I mentioned to him about, I did appreciate the fact that he did portray a decent image. At least he still does portray a decent image. And he claims to have gotten saved in his teen years, senior year in high school, at a karate rally, a Mike Crane, I think it was karate rally. I'm not sure which one it was, but I went through a gospel tract to them, Life's Greatest Discovery. And he was very gracious, very. We talked probably for 10 or 15 minutes. And I said, why, they're the greatest. Other than Alf, he's probably the most recognizable star alive today. Now, question, why is Michael Jordan so great? Because he can float. Helium in his tennis shoes or whatever, however he does it, I don't know. But Michael Jordan can leave the floor at half court and he'll go through crowds, switching hands, floating this way, floating that way. He'll go up in the air and float this way, and then he'll trick everyone that way. Then he'll change hands and float this way. And a minute or two later, down he comes, swish, and all the teams go, yes! Boy, that's got to be worth $20 million a year. A God-given gift to float. And you pay the man $20 million, and then you have all of the Nike shoes and all of the things you buy with Michael Jordan, you're contributing your tithe and offerings to him as you live your life so that you can help Michael Jordan to thank him for this tremendous talent of floating. There's nobody in this room. In fact, there's no one in this state that'll ever do what Michael Jordan has done. Never. If there were, they'd be in there doing it right now. They're non-existent. Nobody will ever do it. That's got to be greatness. But is it greatness? Is it really? Hey, do Bone know football? Yeah. Do Bone know basketball? Do Bone know baseball? Do Bone know Jesus? I sure hope so. How long? What does it take to knock Bo Jackson out of greatness? You watch the replay. He got pushed out of bounds and landed on his hip. You know what? Kansas City said, we don't need Bo Jackson. Oh, that had to hurt Bo Jackson some. I feel sorry for the league. I think Chicago picked him up, if I'm not mistaken. Did the White Sox get him? I feel sorry for the league when Bo Jackson's ego gets his hip is his, gets in good same shape as his ego. I feel sorry for the Royals if they play him. But there's coming a day when Bo Jackson will be back to shuffling with many of the rest of us. Is it greatness? Top of your field of work? Is that really greatness? You say, well, I think greatness would be wantonness. Any pleasure that I would want in life, if I could just have what I want. that car, that home, that possession or that pleasure, and you believe the fulfillment of that pleasure would be great to you. You go back to the testimony of Solomon. Solomon had all the wealth he could ever ask. He had all of the work. He had all of the wantonness. In fact, you read in Ecclesiastes 2, he said whatever his heart desired he had. He had pools of water. He had singers. He had servants. He had anything that he wanted. Talk about wantonness. You think a woman could make a man happy? Solomon then probably died of happiness. 700 wives, 300 combines. That is a big farm by anybody's standard. Wantonness? Is that greatness? Is that greatness? Any pleasure? You know what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 2? He said, I hated life. Right after he said he had everything the heart could ever want. I hated life. I guess that has to explain why there would be the Janis Joplins, the King of Rocks, committing suicide. Sure, that has to explain the John Belushi situations. She who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. He said, I don't have enough money to have any wantonness. I don't have enough money to fulfill any pleasures. Greatest pleasure you have in life is getting around Chicago without a traffic jam. Boy, that's worth more than millions to me. Romans 13 says, awake to righteousness and stop sinning, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I use a lot of illustrations tonight to illustrate the fact of you potentially realizing you can't be great in the eyes of the world. But shortly I'm going to close with the realization we all can be great in God's eyes. I remember we were down in Florida. Heard on the news, Lenny Bias, the greatest basketball player in the college ranks, signed a multi-million-dollar contract with Boston Celtics. Signed a multi-million-dollar contract with a tennis shoe company that day, and now he had all the wealth he could ever want. Now he could afford some wantonness. Because of the monies attained, he was now able to get a hold of some cocaine. Crack cocaine. Went unconscious. Friends who provided the cocaine for him panicked, called the ambulance, had him taken to the hospital. Lenny Bias never again saw the light of day. One pleasure trip. You can just imagine the elation that Lenny Bias must have experienced to be drafted by the Celtics. And you can just imagine what his family must have felt, the pride that his family had. Just think, now we can go to NBA games and my brother will be playing, our son will be playing in NBA games. Just think. But instead of going to an NBA game, they were going to make funeral arrangements, pick out the coffin, whether it would be wooden or whether it would be brass or what color the interior should be. Not the way to live. I remember watching on TV one night the life story of Elvis Presley, another tragic figure. I remember watching all of the things in his life from his childhood on through to his last concert on earth. Some of you may remember seeing there he was, I believe it was in Las Vegas, drug-puffed face, tears streaming down his cheeks, mingled with the perspiration coming down his cheeks as he sang the last song.
I did it my way, and I thought, how true. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Sure hope when we come to the end of our lives, we can't be singing that song, I did it my way. That seemed to be the in song to sing at Hollywood funerals. Let's close with God's viewpoint of greatness. How then is greatness attained? David said, thy condescension hath made me great. Condescension, there is God becoming man. The incarnation, God taking on flesh, providing salvation. How can man be great? Through salvation, by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. Every person can be great. To have God dwelling in him. A person in a wheelchair with only head movement can be great. For he can know Jesus Christ as Savior. Salvation. Are you a Christian? That's the ultimate question. Are you a Christian? When a person is on the deathbed, you don't ask him how much is in your account. And the question is, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? How much did John David Rockefeller leave? He left it all. Salvation is greatness. Secondly, steadfastness. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. So who then would be great? Those who are steadfast, those who do not waver from the faith. Daniel was a great man. Considered great in the eyes of the world? No. He was considered a nut in the eyes of the world. In fact, he was imprisoned because he would not stop his praying. David was a great man, though he was rejected by his own brothers and laughed at by the giant. David was a great man. Noah, the last man alive in his generation with a heart for God, was a great man. Not in the eyes of the world. He was a mockery. But he was steadfast. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, for then shall thy way be prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. To be steadfast. Not wavering. Just don't stop doing the right thing. You say, what about the pressures at work? Don't submit to the pressures at work. What if they laugh? They are the ones with the need. I remember when I was working with the loggers and truck drivers, they couldn't understand why I didn't carry on with them. They couldn't understand. And then would come the mockery. Then would come the laughter. Oh, their goal in life was to get spike my drink so I could get drunk with them. Well, you don't give in to that. You just do the right thing. A great man is a man at work who can stand in the mockery and stand in the rejection and stand in the laughter. A great man is a man who can stand up for God in the midst of the heat of rejection and mockery, in order that he might be salt and light to a dark, decaying world. You give me a man with a backbone of steel, I don't care if a guy can bench press a Volkswagen. You give me a man with a backbone of steel that's 90 pounds full of peanut butter soaking wet, who has a heart for God and won't bend. There's a great man to me. Steadfast. Just be upright. And then, a man who is satisfied. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Are you satisfied? So, no, I'm not satisfied. I'm discontent. Tell you one thing that has always snapped me back to reality is this realization, statement I thought on years ago, anything better than hell is more than I deserve. When we start getting our expectations up and thinking we deserve this and we deserve that and we have this expectation and that expectation, we'd better learn contentment. Paul says, I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. That's greatness. And then greatness, I think, is found in suffering. Some of the greatest people alive today are people who have suffered and have maintained sweetness in the suffering. A while back, I spoke on pits. Teenagers used to say, this is the pits. That's the pits. Remember that? So I preached the chapel message at one of the Christian schools. I said, this message is the pits. And I preached on the pits in the Bible. The pit of Joseph. You want to have a study in a person who ought to feel insecure. Joseph would be a good case study. How about if you went home from camp and everything you owned was in the yard and your brothers were there? And they said, while you were gone to camp, we had a meeting and we decided when you came home, we could either kill you or sell you. Wouldn't you have a tendency to feel rejected? That's beyond paranoia. Some people get paranoid for no reason at all. One lady wouldn't watch football on TV. She said, they're talking about me in the huddle, she told her husband. Now, that's self-inflicted suffering, I do believe. And, of course, that's an extreme case of paranoia. But Joseph was put in the pit by his brothers. He was put in the pit in Egypt, misrepresented, lied about. He suffered with his eyes on God. It's a great man. What if your health were taken from you? What if an automobile accident made you quadriplegic and all you could do, as a man I knew in New Mexico painted a picture for me. It's in my office. Painted it with a brush in his mouth. And he beamed with the glow of God on his face as we preached there in that Roswell, New Mexico church. Great man. Suffered well. How do you suffer? Do you complain at the least little thing? Then last of all, suffering or greatness, I believe, is related to servitude, serving. This is where everyone can be great. Not all may be called upon to suffer. Not all of you may be dissatisfied. Not all of you may be put in a place where your steadfastness has to be proven. But all of you can serve. The greatest man ever to walk the face of the earth, the God man, said this, who would be greatest among you? Let him be servant of all. Everyone can serve. Anyone in this room can be great. You know why? You can be a servant. You say, what if... You mean a person can be a servant if he can never leave his home? Yes, through praying, through communicating, through phone calling. I can know that a person is serving as he shows interest in me or in someone else. How much are you geared to others? How much are you geared to serving? Be great. Others, Lord, yes, others, help this my motto be, that as I live for others, I might be like thee. How have we lived? Wouldn't it be so much better to sing instead of I did it my way? Wouldn't it be so much better to end singing, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way? I'd sure rather go out that way. Not I did it my way. Can you be great? Of course. Will you be written up in USA Today? No. Shoot someone, you will. Be faithful, you won't. This meeting is not going to be recorded, reported by USA Today. It'll not be on the headlines on US. We call it USA Yesterday up here. And it won't be on the headlines. That Northland Mission Camp had a meeting. And several people were there. And the singing was good. And people were smiling and happy. Well, but if one of you got ripped at someone else and shot them, it'd be on the news tonight. Northland Mission Camp, shooting reported. They just don't report faithfulness things. God keeps that record. It's just fun realizing God is keeping all of the records. And then your home can be beyond just a house. I'll close reading this. Helen Hayes says, when I found out when I almost sold my house that a house is not a financial investment, it is a part of you. Your fingerprints are on the garden soil. Your life is painted on the walls. Every step you have ever taken is etched on the floors. The dreams you dreamed are just outside the windows. The tears you shed are still on the glass. Does one hear voices there? Of course, and be glad of it. Can you sometimes not go into a room because memories will overwhelm you? Yes, but better than none at all. The unused dishes remind us of parties we no longer give, and the dining room is too big now. The house is just the right size to hold the past. And that's how I like it. As you are forming your life now, you are creating your memories. What will the memories be? I hope this week will be a great memory for you. Be a great, be a servant. All of the other awards appear as so insignificant.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala, speaking on true greatness. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. It is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.